I'm one that has to use notes to speak, and I got off course, and I thank him very much for kindly correcting me. I get a little nervous when I speak, so I tend to have a lot of things crammed in my mind. So one correction, Matthew was the tax collector. Peter was crucified upside down, and Paul was beheaded. And I got that all intertwined. So thank you for forbearing my mistakes. I learned from Brother OB's talk to keep thy foot out of thy mouth. I also would like to plug the Harvest Convention. There's a few programs out there on the table. And also, a lot of brethren here are asking me to send love to my parents and all the brethren online. And if you just go to the camera and say hey to somebody, I can tell you my mom and dad love that. Even though they can't answer back, they'd love to just see your face. We started earlier this morning on a few experiences and a few stories of my earlier life with Brother Dudley Chastain, and about endurance and how the Lord uses endurance it's a very long subject in the Bible. I was very provoked by how many times the scriptures talk about sitting back and enduring through your experiences, waiting on the Lord, and sometimes you have to wait a little extra time. So don't be impatient. Where we left off was being patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord, and see how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, being patient about it. That's the scripture in James 5. The emphasis for our talk at this convention was that I was thinking about those who need care and those who are caregivers. I know that there are many older brethren who don't have caregivers, and many brethren who are the caregivers. And it's a very difficult subject to just about that subject in caring for others. As we heard about Brother Dudley in a nursing home, Sister Marge couldn't take care of him. There are those who are still at home or in nursing homes that need care. With that subject in mind, the use of that experience in our walk can only do a wonderful thing in each of our minds, that we take that opportunity, if we have it, and use it to develop our characters by being a caregiver first, if possible. But more than that, think about the person who needs the care. For years, they didn't. And now, we're trying to develop that endurance factor of, one, as they get older, they realize they can't do what they did. And two, as a caregiver or one who can help others, it can be used in a lot of ways to make you think about what the person's going through and how you can endure through it, from frustrations to happiness and joys. The Phillips translation reads in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, "So then, my dearest friends, as you have always followed my advice, and not that only when I was present to give it, so now that I'm far away, be keener than ever to work out the salvation of God that God has given you with a proper sense of awe and responsibility. For it's God's work in you who is at work within you, giving you the will and the power to achieve his purpose." The one standing before you never thought of himself as a speaker, but when asked, you do it. But Brother Tom Riggiorello, one day I was talking to him, and I said, Brother Tom, how could I be a better speaker? I wanna be able to develop that within myself. And he said, don't worry about it. Just when you see something to do, go find it. If it's picking up a chair. So you can develop endurance of your frailties, of what you think is going on inside you, by doing only what you can do. I was just talking to Brother Rick, and he said, just do it. Go do it. Don't sit back and wait until someone does it for you. You go do it. You develop the character, the endurance to take on the responsibility that God is working in you. Are any of the brethren here having experiences that are totally consuming your time? Are any of the brethren having experiences that are totally consuming your strength? Philippians 2:14 through 18. Do all you have to do without grumbling or arguing, so that you may be God's children, blameless, sincere, wholesome, living in a warped and diseased world, and shining there like lights in a dark place. That's endurance, brethren. Shining as a light in a dark place. That's like Brother Dudley. He didn't say much. He acted it. He walked the walk. It wasn't just the talk. One notable spiritual battle in the New Testament is that of Satan's temptations of Jesus Christ in the wilderness over a 40-day period. And the account is in Luke 4:1-13. To shorten the story, Satan's desire was to cause Jesus to sin and ruin God's plan of redemption by not allowing Jesus, or trying to not allow Jesus, to remain steadfast. And the good part of the story is that Jesus did. He remained steadfast, and he was victorious over Satan. When the 40 days were over and Satan realized that he'd been defeated, he left Jesus alone for a while. That's endurance. 40 days. Throughout his ministry, Jesus faced many other spiritual battles. The supreme test was the one that Jesus faced upon the cross in Hebrews 2:2. It states that Jesus endured the cross. And that brings a meaning when we think about our past memorial season that we had. The endurance, there were several enduring factors going on within the realm of that day. The apostles wondering what they were going to do when they didn't have Jesus, their leader, in front of them to guide and direct their every thought being taught by him. Mary. There's a really nice poem that Brother Tom Riggiorello used. I don't mean to keep using his name. In a PowerPoint about Jesus on the cross that talks about Mary's endurance. And a few of the words were, you know, my little boy didn't deserve to die this way. He didn't deserve to have people spit on him, the thorn of crowns put around him, but he endured the cross. And she endured the situation. I mean, a mother thinking about her son, and then her son saying, John, this is your mother. That's endurance. And what did John think? You know, he probably put his arm around Mary and tried to console her. That's endurance. So when I think of the term enduring the cross, that thought really sticks with me about some of the very minute battles that I have in my life. But if we all go back to the slight victories that we have and think about the victory that Christ had, That's real perseverance and endurance. The second, or I guess continuing reasons for the need of endurance is personal growth. What does going through something day by day, I don't know, we all have challenges, I would assume, learning our ABCs to major math problems and solving them. We have to learn one thing at a time. We have to train ourselves up to take each process and build on it. And if we take that perseverance by learning each step, we made some mistakes. We have to go through that portion of thinking about how to build on every mistake we made, knowing that we can ask forgiveness, go to the Lord, and allowing us to experience trials. Paul wrote in Romans 5, 3, and 4, "We also rejoice in our sufferings." I haven't got there yet, Sister Hagensack. "Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope." And James also commented on the benefits of perseverance. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops character, and persevering in that means that there's a finish to the work you started. That is complete, mature, spiritual growth as we continue our walk of endurance. Trials and suffering show us what's important. They open our eyes to what is temporal and what is eternal. The hard experiences we go through make the hope of the church class more real. When we think that, as Brother Rick and I were talking last intermission, what does the ear have to do with saying they have no need of the eye? We're all different. We're all very, very different people, built differently. We have to endure different things because God is not going to allow us to be of that church class, that very important state that a very few will ever have the hope of being a part of. Paul describes this in Romans 8, verses 21 through 23. He presents the need to make our callings and election sure. "The creation as groaning and in travail, waiting for the deliverance from its bondage." Paul states that not only does the creation groan, but so do we as we await the adoption of sons and the redemption of our bodies. We received this hope when we were saved, when we gave our lives. I use the word saved because I feel as though I was saved by having that privilege to grow up in the truth, but not taking it as seriously as I did when I gave my life to the Lord. Some of the most mature brethren you'll meet are those who have gone through difficult experiences. And maybe they've experienced prolonged sicknesses, death of loved ones, financial hardships, major setbacks, grave persecutions. But what did it do? It built their faith. It took their faith to the next level. And the next time they had the experience, they remained faithful through that experience. It kept their faith vibrant, gave them that sweet spirit. It gave them the character that God is looking for in each of us to be of that church class. I'm trying to speed along to meet my time a little bit better. What do we do? What are some of the hindrances of not considering our endurance and the perseverance that we go through? Unconfessed sins. Do we really go to our burden bearer and express to the Lord that we as Christians need forgiveness? Do we persevere on our silent, maybe sins that no one else sees, our little problems, like Brother Rick was talking about, in holding up the Ten Commandments? And do when we bend our knee, do we actually ask for forgiveness and take the time to do that? Some of the brethren I've known over the years said that they've prayed through the night. I've never done that on bended knee. But I can only imagine as they prayed, they were blessed for it. That's real perseverance. Another hindrance that we need to think about are attachment to worldly things. I myself own a business. I wouldn't suggest it for anyone. I think business takes away the best part of a person. It's I look at it as a disease that is always sucking your ability to perform at your best out of you. And it doesn't have to be just a business. It could be material things. It could be having a really neat car, or it could be pursuing. I was talking to Sister Gabriella's sister, Odalia, about how much education is good education. How much education is going to be necessary for her future work, and what is she going to do with it? And she said, well, sometimes it feels as though I need to pursue an extra year because I have to be better than the last person who had just as much education as I had in order to get a job. So she's now weighing this as an endurance situation in her Christian walk, because she's saying, you know, how much education is too much education? These are things that Paul gave us to think about in 2 Timothy 4:10 and a few other scriptures up, but I'm going to skip around to kind of keep going. Another hindrance is unresolved discouragements. Everybody becomes discouraged from time to time. Discouragement may be short-lived, or in terms that we can all relate to, it might be, as in my case, if I bid a job and don't get it, do I bemoan the fact I didn't get the job, or do I just put that set of prints aside and go look at another job? Because I can't change the outcome. Do I let it discourage me to a point that I can't change the way I'm thinking and become so discouraged that it affects my character? And then, beyond that, can it become a depressive problem? In cases of the brethren that I have the privilege of fellowshipping with, many have come to me about how to deal with depression. What do we do? I don't think God wants us to linger on discouragements or despair. He wants us to get on our knees, ask forgiveness, and God uses that as our character development. It's as the scriptures teach, about the trials to refine and develop us. And Satan will use these trials to discourage us. It's a probably one of Satan's largest tools today. In Psalm 73, an anointed man of God, and I'm probably going to smear this name, A-S-A-P-H, Asaph, he relates to how he became discouraged when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said that his feet almost slipped out from under him as he looked at what seemed to be the easy life for those who ignored God. He felt that his efforts in serving God had been in vain. And when he went into the sanctuary of God, he understood the end of the wicked. He realized that the prosperity of the wicked that they enjoy is only very, very, very temporal. It's very temporary too. But being in God's presence helped him to have a new perspective in the situation. And that's that holy place we were talking about earlier. This is a holy place, I believe Brother Joe Migas. In times of difficulty, it's critical that we ground ourselves from the things that we think we see, for instance, as discouragement. I don't know how many watch the news, but boy, can it get discouraging. After about 45 minutes of the news, I pray for the kingdom all the more. I don't think God wants us to focus on that, because I think as we focus more on those things and not on His Word, we aren't able to endure and persevere through our own trials as we see things happening around us. And then we take away from our families. We take away from the needed relationships of our brethren and class relations. What do we do when we allow so many earthly hindrances to come into our lives that we aren't as motivated at our top character aspects to be willing to serve the Lord? Galatians 6:9 kind of really hits it for me here. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. That's endurance. How do we persevere and endure? We identify God's resources and we keep those close to our heart. The Christian's perseverance is different from that of the worldly concerns. When we see the world encounter problems, they persevere because of personal grit. Maybe they have a great determination, and maybe they even just want to get back at someone else, and they use that power to allow them to persevere through. But each person has a limit. Someone mentioned about one of the political statements that was stated about God. I think Brother Randy said that. It's to a point, as we heard Brother Rick say, that God is not supposed to be used. The word God is not supposed to be used. That's not politically correct. If we think about that real long and we put our minds on that, do you have a sense of justice come over you? You just want justice? You just want to be able to say to somebody, you know, I love God. To see God in my everyday life, that matters. But we can't change the world. We're on this side the veil. We have to keep our hope strong. In Hebrews 11, Paul gives us several examples of faith. He says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain for what we do not see. I wonder why he said that, what we do not see. That was his thorn in the flesh. He couldn't see. His thorn in the flesh was something that kept vexing him to the point that he prayed 3 times, Lord, please take this from me. But another brother came to me, Brother Ed, and said, my grace is sufficient, and reminded me of that. My grace is sufficient. Three times he prayed. What enables believers to persevere? They have faith that believes God is at work, even though the situation is difficult, that there's no physical evidence that the things will change. Faith is simply putting one's trust in the nature and character of God. It believes that He is holy, He is righteous, He's loving and faithful, and He's not going to forget about your situation, as small or as large as it may be. He continues in Hebrews 11 about those biblical characters that he was thinking of who overcome great difficulties. I mean, Noah builds an ark where it doesn't rain. I mean, just ponder on that for a minute. It didn't rain. How long did he build the ark, and what were his persecutions? And he continued building that ark without, I think there was a talk about an architect planning it. God was the architect, but he was building it by the power of God's handiwork through his mind. And as a plumber, I always worry how to seal things. He took care of that. God sealed it for him. I mean, little things like that. How does that happen? Well, it's because of faith. Faith enabled Abraham for 25 years for the birth of his promised son. Faith enabled Moses to persevere. I was having a conversation thinking about how if Moses was really a good leader, and I think he was, why did he not feel he was a very good leader, and the Lord had to tell him, as Brother Rick was saying, here's your staff, go lead. But Lord, no, here's your staff. But, no, go. Sometimes, like, we have to do that with a little kid. You can do it. The Lord has a way with faith that if we keep those promises before us, our faith will bring us through our circumstances that enables us to endure what's big or small in our minds at the time. What's one thing we can't give up? Christian fellowship. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves. What happens when you don't network with people? You become a hermit. Our world is slowly becoming that way. What's really prevalent? We all carry these things. And ringers off, by the way. We all have computers. We need to keep in contact. But it's in an impersonal way. It's not really talking to someone. Was it Brother Bleachers? No. The brother in the back, that right there, John next to your daughter, Ken Bordes. The Lord, by keeping old acquaintances, I remember you as a little boy at one of the Detroit conventions, giving a talk or leading a study or something. It's that friendship and bond that we as Christians have from old acquaintances. At least I think you were from the Detroit area, aren't you? I hope. Am I that far off? Anyway, so we can persevere by drawing strength from our brethren and the encouragement and the functions of our classes and our work that needs to be done by taking class responsibilities on. That's what we need to continue to endure. I know when I was younger, just starting in the industry, the piping industry, about 37 years ago, I was at the Muncie Convention, and I was without a job for about 4 months. And Brother Bob Alexander was speaking there, so I went there and had lunch with him. I had two possibilities for a job that had just come up. And I was enduring not having a job, trying to figure out what's the right thing to do. Well, two jobs came up. One came up in Florida, which, as a young man, Florida's really sounds nice with the weather, the beaches, you know. Good place to work, very relaxing. But the closest class was 180 miles away from the job site. And then the other option that I had was 80 miles in Ottawa, Illinois. And I got to be with Chicago Brethren, who I grew up with, in the Gary Ecclesia, where Brother John Treziak is from. Brother Bob told me, you need to think about your endurance during the week and on weekends. What are you going to do if you can't go to a meeting? 180 miles, the flesh will take over and probably take from you the ability to want to keep the fellowship with the brethren. And in many of the relationships, as I look across the room, Brother Obi and Sister Janet, that's how I got to know them better. I stayed at their house while a job came to me. But it was because of classes around that Brother Bob brought to my attention that made me think I should think about how I would endure without the brethren as much as the materialistic things as having a job in Florida or a nice place where the weather's great. 1 Peter 4:12, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeals that are among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. We don't select our trials. The Lord selects those. And each trial is made for each of us, tailor-made. Some in the room can take pressure. Some in the room can handle teaching children. Some can work on electronics. Some can do health care. Thinking about your job, Brother Obi. We all can't do the same thing. But each experience, each part of our occupational needs for tent making, the Lord picks those examples to keep our endurance from getting too far beyond us, that we don't have a heartfelt acquiescence during our trials so that we can always come back to the Lord. Malachi 3, 2 and 3 says, But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a smelter and a purifier of silver, and he'll purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present the Lord offerings in righteousness. I don't know how many of you have ever smelt any metals of any type. I know Brother John, he has used a lot of lead in his time as a plumber, but most metals glisten like a mirror when you get them hot enough. And when they're at the right temperature, and after you've removed the dross, you can see yourself in it. Well, if God's looking at that pool of liquid, molten metal, and in our case is gold, what is he seeing? Is he seeing his character, or is he seeing something else? If there's too much dross in that liquid, is the fire not hot enough to give His image back. We have to think about how the process that the Lord is using to melt down our own wills and develop our heart loyalty to the Lord and how that's working. Once again, that's endurance. How much time do I have, Brother Randy? We're pretty close. Okay. Well, let's go to the end real fast. In conclusion, to be victorious in the Christian's life, it demands endurance against Satan and life's general experiences. And they're going to present themselves at times to each of us when we least expect it. They will present doubt that God gave up on us. Or in those times when we're at our lowest, one of the brethren will come to your aid. One of the promises will come to your aid. One of the heavenly resources available will come to your aid, and you will endure. You started well, so finish well. I'd like to end with the April 29th manna. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. It is always our blessed privilege to carry our sorrows and vexations to the Lord, for He knows how to steal the bitter from life's woes. He does it by showing us through experience the vanity of all earthly things and their utter inability to satisfy the soul's cravings or to comfort the wounded spirit. Then comes the thought that, however vexing our experiences, they will soon be over. And if we permit them to do so, they will only work out in us the peaceable fruits of righteousness and develop in us strong and noble characters, discipline to thorough self-control, thoughtful consideration, patient endurance of affliction and loving loyalty and faithfulness and trust in God. May the Lord add His blessings and forgiveness.